David Meltzer, welcome.
Thank you, Philip.
Your company took part in projects like the Super Bowl, the Masters, the Kentucky Derby, the Oscars. You've been chosen as 2016 Top 10 Keynote Speaker. You've received the Sports Humanitarian of the Year Award. You worked for Reuters or as a CEO of Samsung's first smartphone division. And you've been recognized by Forbes as one of the current top speakers in, or let's say today, and you're a regular guest on CNBC, Forbes, Bloomberg, or ESPN. Wow.
So sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, and actually, is there anything you haven't achieved or done yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking in a bigger scope and scale to really empower. That's why I'm here with Junior Achievement, empower the millions of young people to have not only the right values, but to help others. And so I wrote a book called Compassionate Capitalism, and I mm-hmm. think with the extraordinary younger generation that we have, if they can see past just capitalism of making a lot of money, but understand that, like an Elon Musk, that they can create social change mm-hmm. as well as create abundance for everyone and capital and still make money.
So actually, how do you motivate people to, for example, let's say, reach your level?
Oh, well, first of all, it's day by day, right? And you can talk about all the successes in the script, but what's not written there is, you know, I've lost more money than most people have ever lost in their life.
Really?
Yeah, so in my first joining, I had enough to retire and I lost everything. I claimed bankruptcy and then made it all back. Wow. So I've had many failures, and the awards are, you know, they're nice sounding, but the truth is that I really pursue and enjoy the pursuit of my potential. So what I think allows me to win these things or be noted is that I'm just enjoying the journey.
And so are there any plus of these, let's say, bad situation in your life? I mean, especially the bankruptcy?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was the best moment of my life.
Really?
Yeah, because I always attached my happiness to uh-huh. making money.
Uh-huh.
And so when I lost all my money, it was literally when I made all the money was the first time I wasn't happy. I had enough to buy whatever I wanted to buy. And for the first time, I wasn't happy. So when I lost all my money, my wife, who's actually here, it's our 20th anniversary, told me to go back and take stock in who I was. She said she wasn't happy. And so when I went back and took stock in who I was and who I wanted to become, mm-hmm. I started really on this journey of happiness and understanding how to provide value and be of service, and everything came back to me even better and bigger than it did before.
So, concerning the success, is it really about some skills, or is it much more about fortune or really good self-PR and self-confidence?
You know, it's three things. It's number one, desire. Mm-hmm. Right, you have to be persistent. You have to have a right. I believe perspective is an accelerator. It's an accelerator for the positive things you want or the negative things that you think about. And so if you have the right desire mm-hmm. and then you develop every day the skills that it takes and then combine that with knowledge, not just your own knowledge and experience, but one of the biggest transitions in my life was to ask for help, to have radical humility and to take on my own mentors. So for example, with my books, I went to Napoleon Hill Foundation to Greg Reed and asked him for help on how to write a bestseller like Think and Grow Rich. When I'm doing my TV show and my podcast now, I went to Entrepreneur Magazine and I said, I want to have the number one podcast. Well, when my podcast launched, it went to number four in the world, above Gary Vee, Barstool Sports, even Tim Ferriss, all of the guys that I wanted to be like.
So what do you enjoy the most?
My family. So it's like not even a contest that I enjoy. I have four children and this wonderful wife, and although I have a lot of activity, that I'm in constant connection with my family. They either travel with me, I'm on FaceTime with them, I'm always integrated into their lives, and that's what inspires me to create my legacy, especially with my children, that they'll carry on empowering other people on how to be happy and teach other people to be happy.
Concerning success in these days, and I think it's really about the public speaking. So how do you encourage people to overcome their fear to speak to an audience?
That's great. So overcoming fears is something I talk about all the time. It's the same way that you're so successful as a 30 under 30 and, you know, Philip's sitting there. It's practice. So I tell people all the time, I'm like, Dave, how can you speak in front of 8,000 people and be so calm and relaxed? I said, well, imagine if I asked you to stand in front of 100,000 people and clap your hands. Would you be nervous? No. right? Why? Because it's just second nature to you. So if you're truly practiced, if you practice every day mm-hmm. in whatever you want to talk about or whatever you want to do, you're going to become comfortable, be in a comfort zone for that, and you're going to be even better than anyone else. And so I'm a true professional. I sit in front of the mirror, not because of ego, sit in front of a camera. I watch myself. I'm hypercritical of myself, and I practice and practice so that when we're talking on an interview, it's like I'm talking to my kids.
And so right now you're leading one of the world's leading sports and entertainment marketing agencies. So what do you miss the most when you're looking for new employees?
So I look for four things. Number one, gratitude, because gratitude gives this kid's perspective, which accelerates their success. So makes their past better, their present brighter, and their future even brighter than that. The second is how empathetic they are. Well, that means forgiving. How forgiving are they? Three, accountable. I believe you have two questions in life. One, how did I attract this to myself? And what am I supposed to learn from it? So I look for that value of accountability. I don't want them to go below the line into blame, shame, and justification. And then finally, I look to see how effectively they can communicate. Not mm-hmm. just outwards between two people, but I want to see how they effectively communicate up, meaning to that which inspires them. Because inspired employees are great employees. They don't know time. They stay as long as it takes. They do whatever it takes. And they're also very easy to get along with and work with as well.
You mentioned four things, but which one is the most important, or which one is the one you miss the most?
Gratitude, for sure. Gratitude is the easiest way to change your life. You know, I've studied physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics. Easiest way to change your life is simply to say thank you twice a day before you go to bed and when you wake up. And if I have a grateful employee, I'll have a grateful company, which will be a successful company.
I've already mentioned what have you done and for how many companies have you worked for, but isn't it in fact something negative? I mean, companies prefer loyalty, right?
Yes. So for me, everything's evolved, right? I went from working for West Publishing, which got bought by Thomson Reuters. Then I went into the wireless proxy service space with EveryPath, and then went to Samsung's first phone division. Mm-hmm. After that, I really have worked for myself. I was CEO of Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, the most notable sports agency in the world. And that's where I met Warren Moon, the Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback, who's my partner. And we spun off Sports One Marketing. What's interesting about all the different variances of what I do, a lot of them were subsets of my business. So even right now, I have all of these different things, but they run under a common vertebrae of Sports One Marketing, our global marketing agency.
So the Oscars and the Super Bowl are definitely one of the world's top events. Mm-hmm. So how can you ensure that the content you create is the one people want to watch?
So, you know, we really shifted over time the content that people want to watch. So I actually bought a media company recently to provide what I call the production of the production. So what we do is we actually go behind the scenes, and, you know, if I'm going to go on an interview like this, I'll always have a camera following me here, all the people talking to me beforehand, parts of the interview, and then afterwards when everyone's like, oh, you're so wonderful. Well, we actually take that production and the very next day make a bit-sized video, 30, 60-second sizzle reels of the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowl, the Masters, Kentucky mm-hmm. Derby, combined with a incentive program, a sponsorship and advertising platform called AMP. And we have really a magical combination. We've won the Stevie Award for the American Business Association Best Mobile and Web App in Sports this year, mm-hmm. as well as just found out internationally we won the Stevie Award. So that makes that app, that combination of media with a platform, the best mobile and web app in sports.
What is actually your role in this project?
So I'm the CEO. I'm also a co-founder of the business, and on that project I took a first-hand development look. So
I mean your role in the Oscars or the Super Bowl?
Yeah, so the Super Bowl and Oscars. So what we do is this production of the production. So we use our aggregated marketing platform. We have the NFLPA locker room mm-hmm. we put on. We work with Wheels Up and their party, Lee Steinberg, all of the different parties around the Super Bowl, all of that content. So we don't film like CBS would or NBC the actual Super Bowl, mm-hmm. but everything, the kind of production of the production, is what Sports One does, whether it's for the Oscars with VIPs, the red carpet, gifting, mm-hmm. all of the production is the specialty or the niche that my marketing agency is involved with.
But isn't it in fact very easy for you to take part of these projects because it's everything about the brand and tradition, right?
Exactly, and the relationship capital. So there's two parts to it, the situation of knowledge, as you discussed, mm-hmm. but also just having the relationship capital. And that relationship capital is a very valuable lesson because it comes to one point, be kind to your future self. So I have developed relationships by giving, not taking.
One more question. Actually, how did you take part in these projects like the Oscars or the Super Bowl? What is behind it? Why exactly you?
Yeah, good point. So because I ran the most notable sports agency, right, we represented all the great football, baseball, boxing stars of the world, I built these relationships and we started being able to bring all of these inner circle relationships to those different projects. So you see all the people walking the red carpet or going to the gifting suites. Mm-hmm. We started doing that. And then because I had relationships with the sponsors, everybody wanted Sports One Marketing and Warren Moon, my partner, to come and bring the sponsors, bring the money. Okay. So our real value or asset is that we bring the inner circle, celebrities, athletes, entertainers, media, high net wealth individuals, sponsors, activations, even product placement to all of these events.
Okay, thank you very much, David Meltzer. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Philip.